Here we go. All righty, on a Friday, write to us at mynorthwest.com. Text as well. Come on in to the State Roofing text line at 98973. All are welcome. Tom taking a day off, so that means it's Stephen Sondheim Friday, where we play bump music from Stephen Sondheim. I sent one to Sean. Did you get that last one?
Yes, I did, John. Yeah, you want it just coming in?
No. Pace yourself. We'll do it again later. I'm having it. There we go. Sherry joins us from Washington, D.C. A woman has absolutely nothing better to do on Fridays. I hope Cairo is kicking in a couple of bucks to you every once in a while for all this. Are you getting a little something on the side? You getting your beak wet, as they say? Yeah, okay. All right.
I get a roll of pennies every once in a while. Sure.
Okay. All right. Nothing wrong with that there. Okay. The CDC continuing to warn us about, you're going to travel. We hope you don't travel. Please don't travel. This is like not my mom, but other people's moms. I've seen that Duffy Oldhouse's mom was always like, "Yeah, well, you know, guys, watch out and be careful. Put your eye out." It's like, what? Put your eye out. We're playing Parcheesi. What are you talking about? Just always on edge. You guys with your crazy horseplay. This is your director announcing new recommendations for travel. More from I can't wait for this lockdown stuff to get behind us, so we never hear from the CDC again. But here they are again, always letting us know. We advise.
We now have several newly released studies documenting the real world effectiveness of COVID-19 vaccines. So today we are releasing an update to our guidance for fully vaccinated people. Specifically, the new guidance today speaks to travel. We state that fully vaccinated people can resume travel at low risk to themselves. For domestic travel, fully vaccinated people do not need to get a COVID-19 test before or after travel and do not need to self-quarantine after travel. For example, fully vaccinated grandparents can fly to visit their healthy grandkids without getting a COVID-19 test or self-quarantining, provided they follow the other recommended prevention measures while traveling.
Okay. All right. Naggy, naggy, nag. I've been flying since the whole thing started, right, Jacob? I was flying in April. I flew April, May throughout the entire summer. And flew and flew and flew. And everybody has their masks on. It is the most ridiculous procedure. It is the kabuki theater of, before you get on the plane, everybody is 6 feet apart. And they keep warning everybody. Sherry, have you flown recently? Since this whole lockdown thing?
Yeah. No, I haven't. I flew actually last August. That was the last time I flew to Tennessee. And there was no social distancing on the plane at all.
Yes. So there, you stand there at the gate, and they keep hawking on everybody to stay 6 feet apart. So everybody's 6 feet apart, and then they want you to get on the plane, but they don't want you to take too long to get on the plane. So then they do this weird thing. It's like, allow the person in front of you to get their stuff in the overhead, right? Well, you know how it is. People are practically crawling through your sweater, coming out through the collar of your shirt to get through you to get it to the next seat, right? They're coming through your pants. So the same thing happens once you get on the plane. Nobody's 6 feet apart. People are bumping into each other and putting the overhead thing. And so what was happening just 5 minutes earlier out there before we got on, it is gone, and now everybody is sitting there, and then the poor flight attendant has to walk around and keep warning people in between sips, please put your mask back on, even though that the air that is being circulated and being purified in the plane is similar to, if not cleaner than, or as clean as a surgical suite. But we all have to keep the facade going so that we all stay scared to death, so that the government continues to have control over us. I know I sound like a crazy person, but... No, but I sound like a crazy person. I just realized I had no defense. Sure, I was waiting for you to come in and save me from myself. No, I'm not.
I respect your opinion. You know, I am very pro-vaccination, though. I really am. I mean, I think it's so important. And I've gotten my first vaccine, so I was very happy about being able to get that. I do have a question for you, John. Are you, in some way, though, be honest, in some way, aren't you a little more relieved that people have been vaccinated when you travel? Doesn't that set your mind at ease ever so slightly that you won't get COVID because there are so many people now that have been vaccinated?
No, it doesn't. It has no effect
on me. No, not at all?
No. No, I don't. I didn't have any second thoughts about traveling before. I have no second thoughts now. If you've got vaccinated, good. I just, the number that I doubt that this big thing is, according to the CDC, 53% of transmission comes from asymptomatic. They don't really know that. That's the data thing. That's a point. So you don't know you have it. They believe that people that don't know they have it, but they have it. Transmission is 53% from asymptomatic to somebody else. So you don't, you're walking around talking to Joe, and Joe's like, hey, how you doing there? Sorry about that. And they cough, and then, oh my God, you give it to the other person. I don't know what the percentage is. We don't know what it is, but no. I even told Jacob this story a little while ago. I sat next to this lady, and she took off her mask. She was from Texas, and she told me her whole life story without her mask on. And about halfway in, I'm like, I think my immune system can handle this old lady. And she was, you know, telling me the story, her sad life of her story. And no, it doesn't bother me. Just here we go. There's 700 trillion viruses out there. I know this one is deadly for people that are over a certain age, comorbidity, overweight. I'm like, check, 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 check. I think I'm okay on all those. And no concern. Long answer.
You don't have any. You have no interest whatsoever in getting the vaccine at any point in your life. You don't think you need it because you think that you're healthy enough to survive the virus if you get it.
Yes.
Do you feel any obligation to get it because you want to protect other people?
No, not at all. No, no. Go get it. You need it? Go get it. No, I'm not going to get the vaccine for you. By the way, people don't get the vaccine for other people. People get the vaccine for themselves. People got the flu shot for themselves, so they didn't get sick. People don't do stuff. People do not get the vaccine. Maybe older people, or maybe people that are close to their mom or grandpa or papa or doo-doo or nunu, whatever you call your grandparents. But people, they're getting it for themselves. And I think most people do. And we had this discussion, Tom and I, back in April. Was, do people wear a mask to protect others from a virus? I mean, from a cold or a virus that people used to wear masks? Or is it protecting themselves?
Well, I think it's both. And I think that it's, you know, if you've had the vaccination, I agree. It does seem like some of these things that they're talking about are you know, in counter to one another. I mean, if you've gotten the vaccine, you're fully vaccinated, why should you wear a mask? But I guess that's because, one, there are variants out there that are very contagious and that are possibly more deadly. And number two, they have these breakthrough cases now where people that have been vaccinated are getting sick anyway. Mm. So if you can protect yourself even more, why wouldn't you do that?
Yeah, well, then wear a mask all the time. When I went to France to do the Ironman in 2009, I remember flying in, and these are like the fittest people in the world are getting off the plane, and they're wearing masks. And the reason you're wearing a mask is because you have your immune system is compromised because of the amount of training that you do, right? And you train for 9 months and you get off and you don't want to have gotten a cold or something like that and then be sick for the Ironman. So I used to see all these guys cutting off in these super duper great shape and they're all wearing masks. I'm thinking, I should probably wear one of those because they're wearing them. But that was because not that they are going to give anybody anything. They didn't want to get something gross from somebody else while they're on a plane flying, you know, long distance. Here is a perfect example of this. Who's this lady, Jacob? I sent this to you. I was so excited. And then you pooped all over it.
Her name is Dr. Lena Wen, and she's she has all sorts of jobs, but she's a CNN medical analyst.
Okay. This, to me, is the real
My
story.
Main concern is that we're not going to reach herd immunity because of vaccine hesitancy. And I know that's hard for a lot of people to believe who desperately want the vaccine right now. And they're thinking, oh, well, it's just a small percentage of people who are actually anti-vaxxers. And that's true. There is the anti-science, anti-vaxxer contingent.
Okay, it's not anti-science and anti-vaxxer. And I'll let it
keep going. I think that there are many more people, millions of people, who, for whatever reason, have concerns about the vaccine, who just don't know what's in it for them. And we need to make it clear to them that the vaccine is the ticket back to pre-pandemic life. And the window to do that is really narrowing. I mean, you were mentioning, Chris, about how all these states are reopening. They're reopening at 100%. And we have a very narrow window to tie reopening policy to vaccination status. Because...
Okay, did you get that? We have a very narrow opening to tie vaccine open to openings and vaccines, right? Because she wants to manipulate
otherwise,
your behavior.
If everything is reopened, then what's the carrot going to be? How are we going to incentivize people to actually get the vaccine? So that's why I think the CDC and the Biden administration needs to come out a lot bolder and say, if you're vaccinated, you can do all these things. Here are all these freedoms that you have. Because otherwise,
people
are going to go out and enjoy these freedoms anyway. And I fear a situation of coming into the fall, where we never reach herd immunity, and then we get hit by the next surge of COVID-19 in the fall, something that we could have prevented if we just got people vaccinated now.
Is she saying fall or phone? It sounds like phone.
Fall.
Okay. First of all, so we're going to get our freedoms back when everybody gets vaccinated.
Right. I mean, she doesn't mean constitutional freedoms. What she's talking about, obviously, is day-to-day freedoms, being able to go to a restaurant, being able to meet with your friends, have a party, have a backyard barbecue, those kinds of things.
Yeah. Yeah. You mean live our life.
Right.
Yeah. The number of people that have had COVID, which they believe to be in the state of Washington, let's just state of Washington, cases, 366,000 cases. You got it. Your body kicked in. You got over it. Maybe you did some hospital time, whatever else. 366,000 people. 5,000 people died. So that means 366,000 people have herd immunity in the state of Washington because their body has the antibodies, T cells and B cells, in order to fight this thing off. Then we also kick in, I don't know how many people who are in the state of Washington have also gotten the vaccine. So that's also part of it. So you look at the overall number of cases in the United States of people that have had it, cases, right? And then you say, okay, well, then those people are as good as vaccinated people because their body has learned to deal with it, gone through the virus and all the other stuff that went with it. So you have to include that in there. And in order to get to herd immunity, what do we say? 70 to 80% of the total population. So we might be already there because there's so many people that had the virus, didn't even know they had the virus. That number could be as high as 10 times what the CDC thinks is officially on the record. Do you think I'm selfish by not getting the vaccine, Sherry?
No,
careful with this answer, because this could be the last Friday you ever do on the show.
Right. You and Stephen Sondheim might be doing it. No, I don't think you're selfish. I do wonder, though, about your courage toward the whole thing, because for me, you know, half a million people have died. It was the third leading cause of death, they said yesterday. There are people getting sick. There are long-term implications of having this virus. People are having organ failure and things like that.
Yep.
And I personally, and even though, yes, the overwhelming majority of these people have comorbidities and they have other pre-existing conditions that would make them more susceptible to greater disease, I don't want to be the outlier. I don't want to be the one that, you know, there is that person out there that gets it, that doesn't know how they got it, and they get really, really sick, and they're sick for months and months and months. I don't want to take that risk. So I guess I don't think you're selfish. I just wonder about your risk taking if you've thought that through, and I'm sure you have.
I didn't. I just look at it this way. I'm looking at a photo of my mother right now. I am so much to the point of contrarian that I appear to be slightly unstable mentally. And I said this in the pre-show, and there was an uncomfortable silence from both you and Jacob, and then Jacob tried to change the subject by bringing up Rick Riz and how he got into baseball.
and Ross.
Yes, and Ross. That I remember driving down the road and I heard Barack Obama talking about the fact that America is no more exceptional than any other country. and that other countries believe they are exceptional as well. And America is just basically just one more country. And I thought at that point, screw you. What? And I think then later on, they were talking about climate change and stuff. What can I do to say, no, I disagree with that. I think America is exceptional. I know what I'll do. I'll kill two birds with one stone. A little sort of motto Tom likes to use all the time. I will show that America is exceptional and screw on this climate change thing. And I went out and bought a Corvette the next day. So, and it was my way of just buying an expensive American-made car that used a lot of gas in a totally insane, contrarian way to what I'm being told. So when Inslee...
Wear a mask, Washingtonians. If you love somebody, wear a mask.
And I'm like, you know what? Because you're telling me to do it...
Just do it. You wear a mask and be a good kind of...
I'm not going to get it. I'm not...
Okay.
And that's it. And I'm going to give up... I'm going to give up both my sense of smell and taste.
Right.
I'll give that up right now. I'm going to give it up right now.
So you're a rebel with a cause, which when you drove the Corvette, did you tell people that's why you did it? When they said, wow, you got a new car. What made you decide to get this kind of car?
No.
Did you tell them that story? No. So it was just self-satisfaction.
Yeah. They knew. Okay. They knew from the look in my eye because it was a crazy look.
I also want to say, just for Sherry's benefit, I wouldn't put a whole lot of stock in John saying that he'll give up his sense of taste. He famously once ate a congealed ball of pasta with no hesitation because he doesn't care about how things taste anyway. So I would just say it's not a big sacrifice for him to give up his
and
olfactory
Jacob,
senses.
As much as I appreciate that, that you're speaking to the character of me, I say that it wasn't just once. It was an ongoing thing that I realized.
Oh.
So what I would do is I would make a thing of pasta, shake it out, form it into a ball, and then I realized this is a handy treat, like a dinner, that I can eat at any time. And I remember one time I was late for an auction, made myself a ball of pasta, mixed it, you know, pushed it to like a size of a softball, and was in the shower eating it while showering.
What? Gross. Wait, what kind of pasta did you use to
move
bake
on.
The ball?
We don't need to deal with it. We don't need to talk about it now.
Was this like elbow macaroni?
What was it?
No,
it
was
just gotta tell
pasta.
Us that.
It's just regular pasta right here.
No, there's like 18 different versions of pasta.
What does it say on the box?
Oh, certain versions can be eaten in the shower and others can't?
No. Well,
spaghetti.
I've never...
Thick
spaghetti.
Thick
so
spaghetti
you made a ball
and reached macaroni. Yeah, yeah.
Did you dip it in any sauce or anything? Or just you ate it just like...
No, I'm eating it in the shower. Don't be ridiculous.
Somebody hold me too close. Somebody hurt me too deep. Somebody sit in my chair and ruin my sleep and make me aware of being alive. Being
if only Tom were here. That's right, we'll be playing bump music from Stephen Sondheim to make Tom wish he was here. Come in and out of each one of these commercial breaks. If Tom is listening right now, he would be like, hold someone to hold me up, Nate. Tom loves Stephen Sondheim. And Sherry, this is my way of saying, really? Taking off on Fridays, Tom? Is that what you're doing?
Yeah.
Because Fridays is Sondheim Day here. Bring it up a little bit just to really drive it home for people who hate this.
Just vary my days. But alone.
That's Adam Driver, by the way.
Oh, is it really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
In marriage,
Tom's weeping even more
story.
Now.
Yeah.
He can barely contain himself at this point.
By the way, it does fit. By the way, Keel Mortgage, is somehow Keel Mortgage fits into this whole thing. Keel Mortgage, 1-888-778. Okay, I'm sure Lauren Keel is like, no, just do the spot. That's not what Lauren Keel sounds like. Laura and everyone there at Keel Mortgage letting you know the best people to call when you need a mortgage. Keel Mortgage, they are the best. 1-888-778-KIEL. You should know, Sherry, that as you fill in, Tom and I have a love of Stephen Sondheim, anything musical theater from him, and we actually did 8 minutes of trying to kill and drive away every single listener we've ever had as the two of us salivated over Sondheim songs 2 weeks ago, the worst moment in talk radio ever, but we loved it. And then I yelled at Tom. Was it this week? I think this week. And then I felt so bad, I went online and spent $300 on Sondheim songs and books and then bought them. And then Jacob, they're coming to Cairo, by the way.
So oh, okay. You sent me a proof of shipping. That makes sense now. Okay.
Yes,
did you try singing the songs as well? Did you try singing them? Was that what made it sort of unbearable?
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
Yes. We talked about our favorite songs and then sang them. I mean, you couldn't think of anything worse.
Not really. No, I think that was way up there. That's big. How were you good? I mean, are you good singers?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
all right. Great. There you have it. Okay. Okay, I'm glad to hear that.
This does somewhat fit in to Keel Mortgage. No, it does fit in to in that scene that was Adam Driver singing. That was from the movie A Marriage Story, which is about two people. Their marriage falls apart, and then the divorce that then proceeds, and you watch the thing, and it's Adam Driver, Scarlett Johansson. Oh, amazing acting. Great, great movie. Unbelievably sad when you watch the lawyers going at one another. It's just an awful thing, which brings us to the fact that apparently more people are living in matrimonial bliss right now. Is that true, Sherry?
Yes, it is true. And it's one more curious thing about the pandemic, because early on in the pandemic, apparently, divorces were surging. People were getting really tired of being around each other. And divorce lawyers were saying that their business was way up. And a lot of reasons, many of the reasons they say were because of boredom, financial reasons, that people were still having extramarital affairs, and physical abuse. Well, as the pandemic wore on and more people were staying at home, they had different reasons for staying, and one of the reasons happened to be that they were spending more time with the family as a whole. So people were going out more, they were riding their bikes together as families, and they decided they would try to stick it out. The other kind of interesting thing is that if you were having an affair with a coworker, you couldn't go to the office to continue the affair, so a lot of these affairs ended. But now divorce rates apparently have plummeted in many states. So maybe this is one of the good byproducts. Who knows?
But they also think divorce lawyers are like, please hope people start getting upset with one another, because we really want to get in there and just tear them apart and make as much money as we possibly can. They believe that it will start to come back again as people start to being able to have their freedom, and then maybe divorces will pick back up again after the lockdowns end.
Right. They expect another surge to happen. They think that probably once people, like everything else, once we get back to quote unquote normal, that yes, divorces are going to see, there's going to be an uptick in divorces. But just a couple of figures here. Florida, divorces were down 19%, Rhode Island 13%, Oregon 12%, and Missouri 9%. So that's pretty significant.
That's pretty good. I guess it's also because you got a mask on. It's harder to kind of like go out and find somebody new or cheat on somebody when you've got your mask on, the other person's mask, and then the fear of like getting COVID. So I guess the thing when they lock everybody down, they locked all the marriages in place as well. The other interesting sort of side effect of this is that they didn't get the big baby boom they thought was going to occur. They thought a lot of people, well, you're stuck in the house. It's the old thing of like, well, there's 4 days of snow and people are at home and then you were a snow baby. Remember that kind of thing?
Yeah.
They thought there would be a baby boom surge that would be happening. You'd be a COVID baby, that you'd be born during the lockdown. Who is the term COVID baby? But that didn't happen either. So not only people not getting divorced, they weren't having any sex. They were just sort of in a state of, I don't know, just, you know, they always say Catholics and pigeons mate for life. Maybe even just sort of hung out for a little while and just sort of froze their relationships in place.
Well, they also say familiarity breeds contempt. So that could be a factor as well.
Maybe that's it. By the way, let me just run this by you. I had dinner with Larry and Dana last night. I said, and you want to hear, this is Larry's April Fool's joke on his wife. You ready?
Yeah.
And speaking of divorce, she has every right to file. Okay. he is so proud of it. And Jacob and Sean, jump in on this one. Okay, he couldn't wait to tell me. I said, so how'd you do it? He goes, okay, so because both of us wanted to get a vaccine. So I said to her, hey, I've got good news for you. I just got an email and you need to be down at the Senior Citizen Center there in Cle Elum at 8:30 for your vaccination tomorrow. And she was so excited because they've been waiting to get it. She said she hardly slept the night before. So on the 31st of March, hardly any sleep, wakes up early, gets all dressed up, gets down, can't wait, drives all the way down to the Senior Citizen Center where they give you these injections and stuff. She gets there at 8:30 and the doors are locked. There's no one there. They're not giving vaccines. There's no one to give the vaccine. No, nothing. And he looks at me like, isn't that great? And I went, and then? And he goes, what do you mean, and then? I said, and then you came around the corner dressed as a bear or something and gave her like a dozen roses?
Right.
Or, like something.
Right.
Like, where's the, like, hey, wah! She then gets in the car, drives home, and he goes, yeah, April Fools. I'm like, no, not April Fools. There's nothing.
That's horrible.
Stupid. I said, there's nothing. That's not good.
That could be up there in the abuse category. Do you know what I mean? That's 100% sad trombone. Wah, wah. There's no upside to that whatsoever.
There's no like cranky. There's no like funny like. And then the guy came around the corner and he had like a giant needle. He's like, who's next? Right? Or he was there in a white lab
coat. Right. Yeah, that would have worked.
That works, but not just like you get there and the doors are locked. What's that? That's not an April Fool's joke. She, on the other hand, had a great one, which involved a head injury. But anyhow, more on that later. And he got mad at me last night, defending it. I go, no, you're missing the concept of the April Fool's joke. It's supposed to be like the person all of a sudden you then pop out or something happens and... just going there and the door being locked?
Right. And he could have saved that by making it not only an April Fool's joke, but making it a romantic interlude of some
sort.
She would say, like, what a sweetheart. And after all he really wanted to do was give me blank, whatever.
Yes. Yes. Thank you. Tracy, did you hear that stupid April Fool's joke from Larry?
I did. What? I don't understand why you would do that. That's not even funny.
Thank you. Thank you. And he got kind of pissed at me last night.
Why?
Don't you see it? I'm like, I go, don't you see it? I go, don't you see it? And she was sitting right there. I go, Dana, this is a dump. She goes, I know, it wasn't good. I was like, yeah, I would be really mad. All right. Okay. Checking traffic for us. Here we go. Sherry, I don't know if you're a big baseball fan, but baseball's back again, and the Mariners have their opening day. I always say to Tom, I always, and listeners, that if I could, I've had another career, I would come back as one of those baseball announcers that has that kind of voice. Oh, somebody like Rick Riz. Whenever Rick Riz is in the building, I always like... dominate his time, and to the point that Jacob gets mad because Rick Riz always like ends up standing somewhat behind Jacob, and then I just stand there and fawn over Rick Riz's voice. You ever notice that, Jacob?
Yeah, he's talking to you, and then I'm just trying to get work done, and you're talking around my desk, and it's sometimes, I guess to your credit, John, although it's still very distracting, you get him to tell me stories about his life that you've already heard, but I'm there, so you can get him to just tell it like it's the first time. Anyway.
Oh my God!
It's all very silly.
Jacob, Sherry, Jacob is always working, get the whole show together, and I'm like, hey, Rick, Rick, come here.
Talk about that Girl Scout story.
Tell Jacob how you got your first job. Well, you know, Jacob, when I was, what happened was, it was 1980, not 82, it was 80, so it was the summer of 84. Well, you know, the people do that kind of thing, like, what? And Jacob is too nice not to be like, I'm in the middle of, so Jacob... And I'm loving it because it's Rick Riz telling a story. And the Mariners kick a gush. I hope it's Rick Riz doing the
base is loaded, one out. Here's the pitch on the way. Swinging a line drive down the right field line. A fair ball in toward the corner.
Rick, stop for a minute and tell Jacob about the...
Here comes France on the score. Seager rounding third. He will score. Around to third goes Trammell. Moore in at second with a two-run double. It's a one-run ball game. It's now the Giants 6 and the Mariners 5.
You can tell. Mariners, by the way, mathematically still in it for 2021 at this point. First game, crazy, goes into extra innings. Then they have to do the rule where the guy starts out on, what, like second base, but he's dragging a 15-pound weight behind him or some new rule or whatever. And it ends up being a big deal. Mariners, hold on a second. Hold on. Hang on. Oh, that's a lady yelling in the end. Hold on. Does Rick give you the last part? Is this the end of the game with Rick Riz?
Yeah. In, runners all around, nobody out. Three balls and a strike. The pitch to Fraley, and it's well outside. It's a walk-off walk on opening day 2021. Incredible. An amazing comeback for the Mariners, who were down 5-0 going into the seventh.
Why did they switch off, Jacob?
They rallied back, and they win it 8-7, the final score.
Why does Rick start off with...
Why
does somebody else jump in?
It might be a TV broadcast versus radio broadcasting. I'm not sure how that happened yet.
No, that's not right. Mm-hmm. It's Rick Riz. By the way, next time you're in the building, Sherry, ask Rick how he got started in baseball. And make sure you ask him, well, Jacob is nearby.
I was going to say, Jacob can never go to a baseball game because he starts to shake or something when he hears his voice.
Oh,
just can't take
story.
It.
Oh my God, every time they start ran into Rick Riz at Ross's when, you know, the discount clothing store.
No way. Wait, there's the headline. You were in Ross.
I shop
what?
Ross all the time. And I buy off the floor. You want to find the real bargains? Someone has thrown them onto the floor and people have stepped on them. That's where you find the real bargains.
You were in Ross. Wow. Okay, go on.
Oh, and if I don't find anything there, I go over to Marshall's. Tracy?